stereo. Maurice Misolowski, how on earth are you? All the way from St Kilda. How's it going?
Yeah, still very, very good. Overcast, a bit cold here going into winter, but otherwise all is good.
Yeah, listen, we've been talking about different ways of working a few times over the past few months. I still remember, what was it, Soft Life? Is that what we talked about?
It's Soft Rebellion.
Soft Rebellion, yeah. Obviously, yeah, there were going to be lots of knock-on effects with something like this. I was trawling through Maurice's blog earlier this morning, and I found an interesting thing, which really is a very important thing, the untethered workforce. Why office besties are a relic of the past. So I suppose that takes us on to so-called office culture. Which angle did you take when you were writing about this, Maurice?
Phil, you're breaking up on me.
Am I? Am I breaking up on you, Maurice?
Oh, yeah, there you are.
Am I here?
So I think I got the question.
Yeah, give it a go. Go on.
So one of the articles I've written over the past week is really a nod to what used to be, I think, a fairly central tenement of people's work, and that was that work defined them.
Mm.
When I grew up, when I first started my career, you know, people, when you ask them about themselves, so you met them in a pub or wherever you met them.
What do you do? Yeah.
Well, the first question was, I am. You know, I am a Ford person. I am, you know, a Hong Kong Radio 3 announcer. It was always the first thing that you used to define yourself was the way that you worked. And then after that, you know, somewhere down the track came family. Never was it a question about what else you did beyond that. And today, that's so not true.
Does it mean you exist if you say that? Is that your little, like a digital handshake would happen these days?
Yeah, I think in many ways it does, but you have to go back to the culture of the, you know, the 40s, 50s, 60s, and the 40s, 50s, and 60s really was about, I don't mean this that we're not working hard now, but it was around work. It really was about rebuilding a world, rebuilding a self, and the way that people did that was really to spend, you know, not 9 to 5, was much more than that, at work. So it really was every waking moment. The people you had around your table, as well as your family, who were wonderful and terrific, were your workmates. Mm. Now, the people that you went to the pub to were your workmates. You went to the footy with workmates. Everything was about workmates, and that was pretty much where you got your entire life if you weren't home.
Well, in times gone by, don't forget, we've been through all sorts of conflicts and wars and this, that, times when people needed people, perhaps that was important then.
I think we still need people. We just need them in different ways.
More.
We connect
yeah.
to them in different ways. That in that period I've just described, it was a physical world. I mean, absolutely a physical world. You know, the phone didn't exist much. We were using telegrams and they were damn expensive. But otherwise, you were either writing a letter to somebody or you were seeing them in person. So this need for physical connection was all that we knew. You know, we hankered for it. But today we virtually see each other. We virtually keep up all the time. For people in our world, in our extended worlds, we have so much information and so much ability to keep up with them and to contact them that in many ways, a generation really is saying to themselves, well, I don't need to see them 9 to 5 physically anymore all day, every day. I'm happy to come in and out of their lives and keep up with them in other ways.
So they're not work besties anymore. They could be actual friends, could they be?
Well, they can be acquaintances, they can be work, you know, they can be all kinds of things. But for many of these people, they are getting their friendship circle extended by more than just work, more than just sport. They're meeting people across the planet, across virtual spaces that otherwise they might not have come in contact with.
And not meeting them, actually, Maurice. How many people in your life?
Well,
I'm really good friends with Tracy Kwan, but we've never met face to face.
Well, that's true, but meeting, you know, we have to define meeting in the newer sense of it. You're right that for me, meeting is a physical experience, you know, having seen them at least once in my life.
Mm.
But for many people, that's not true. They're just as happy to use the virtual meet that they feel they know a version of that person quite well because of what they do. And that might be because they play games online with them. It might be because they interact with them. It could be for all kinds of things. But this notion of firstly defining ourselves by our employer is diminishing for many people around the world. And the notion of, if I don't make friends at work, I won't have any friends, is also diminishing because both of those things just aren't true. People are becoming more independent. And also, again, we keep blaming this, but I do think that it is one of those things. You know, the COVID experience kind of changed our notion
Forced it, didn't it?
And it made us experiment in ways that, you know, we never wanted to and never want to again.
Let's talk about defining ourselves, Maurice. You mentioned that just now. So, you know, in some societies, you define yourself by what you do, or you define yourself by your wealth. You define yourself by the kind of flash motor you drive or the home you own. Defining ourselves, is that deep down?
Oh, absolutely, because it's what we are. It's our branding. For most of us, we have this innate need of telling the world who we are and what we do and what we stand for, which is one of the reasons that branded products, you know, things we wear, are so important to so many people. Often I'll look at something and it means nothing to me, which is why I can say this, but it's not true of others. You know, I'll look at a really expensive handbag or a really expensive car and I'll wonder why people have gone to such trouble and lengths to save money and spend money for that badge. But I know absolutely full well that what they're saying to the world is that this is how I want you to know me. This is how I want you to represent me.
They're buying Gucci, but they're selling individuality.
Oh, they are, and that's a really, really incredibly wonderful, strange dichotomy thing to say. It just doesn't make sense, but it makes perfect sense because I'm telling you a lot about myself and then saying, well, because this is a part of me, I can now tell you other things because this is shorthanded by the brand I'm wearing. You know something about me already, but there's lots of other stuff, and that's where the individuality comes in.
Interesting how, again, generations. In one generation, that's going to be considered garish and unnecessary and flash and cheap in a bizarre way, and in other generations it's going to be considered, wow, that guy's of means.
And we're already starting to see that, and again, not true of anybody anywhere, but you know, the younger generations, many of them have already walked away from the brands, the big flashy brands, because they say exactly what you've just said. You know, this doesn't need to define me. But I think back to the time, and I wasn't around then, but you know, when the hippies and the widgies and all those kinds of things, and they were making the same kind of comments, quite rightly, for their era and for who they were at that age.
Yeah.
But you know, most of the people now that have those branded names are those people. So we kind of change over time, and I found that going back through history, you know, we have a really strong dogged viewpoint of something, and then maturity, age, wisdom, whatever it is, longevity, kind of pushes us to think something else.
This chavdom, I reckon, has become episodic now because it happens every time Apple drops an iPhone. The talk online and real that goes on. Have you got this? Have you got that? I mean, it's similar.
Yeah, it absolutely is because, again, people are defining themselves by having that latest gadget. They want to be the first. They want to be seen to have it. They want to be seen to be the first of it, and they want to be able to tell other people about it. That, again, is kind of diminishing, and it's diminishing because we see the churn, which is how often people will buy a new device. It used to be every 12 months or so for the beginning of these new, for the beginning of the phones, now turning to 3 and 4 years before they'll replace the phone because they've gone from the need for the brand and the newest to utility. It's not broken, it still works, so I'll keep it for a while.
Let me return to your article, Maurice, because I don't want to forget that. It's all about office besties, the untethered workforce, says Maurice. Now, just a little quote here. The days of the quintessential company person, where your employer defined your social circle and professional worth, are fading fast in the dwindling harsh sunlight of the Aussie summer. Of course, we're talking about Australia. But, you know, going back to design and stuff, it's been widely commented on that things like office designs, the open office, etc., from the 1980s, could be more destructive than constructive.
Yeah, there's been a big push in the last couple of years to talk about that notion. We spent about 10, 20 years making these big open spaces, allowing people to work from wherever they want within those spaces, taking away the corner offices, you know, doing all that kind of egalitarian type stuff where everybody was equal on the office floor. We're seeing a bit of a pushback on that now too, where people want... Now, if they're going into an office, they actually want something to call their own. I know this is counterintuitive to what we've said, but where they actually want a piece of dirt, you know, mentally or whatever, to be their office, their chair, their desk. So this hot desking thing isn't working as great as it once was. And the other thing they're also wanting, which is different, is they actually do want workspaces where they can communally work, but they want to be able to come in and out of them.
Yeah.
So a lot of the designers that I'm speaking to and working with are designing multifunctional spaces. I mean, that's an old word, but this is a relatively new way of doing it, where people at work can have a space of their own and another space where it's communal and another space to think and another space to work. And because technology is so portable, they're not tethered to their computer. That's a big thing because a lot of it was based on a physical computer being on the desk that was yours. Now it's not. It can be anywhere, and it can be a phone, it can be a tablet.
What's
so it really
on
here? Doesn't. You don't need to be plugged into a wall anymore. And that was a reason for the big difference.
Here's something bizarre for you, Maurice. The other day, I saw what I thought was a really kind of groovy office design, bizarrely, And it was in a government building, which is even more bizarre. But instead of having everything spread around the room, the department had kind of, it was a great big space, but it was like a sort of flying saucer with offshoots. It was like it was centralized in the middle and it was circular. And the space was behind where everybody was working. I don't know if there's any, it just looked kind of cool to me.
Yeah, and that's what the, that's what people are going for. What the new designs are doing is inspirational as well. They want people to feel a certain way. They want them to feel, you know, whatever the environment should be, not some sterile, you know, battery type. So there's a lot of psychology goes into it. There's also the notion, of course, that workspaces themselves, because of this article, not because of this article, but there's, you know, to talk about in this article, are changing. They're getting smaller because less people are actually using it. So you'll find, and it's been the case for the last 20 years or so.
So we're not going to be saying goodbye to the office per se, are we? I mean,
no.
The one I saw the other day, it was like they'd get up from their desks or whatever you call it, tables, I guess, and there was tons of places behind they could go. I said like flying saucer, but that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, and they can pick those spaces. I don't know the one you're referring to, but often they can pick those spaces on a mood or on a need. So some are darker, some are lighter, some allow, you know, 5 people, some allow 20 people. So, you know, there's all these possibilities around for the way that we work.
I did notice that the lighting was different. There was the warm one and then there was the rather cold fluorescent one. That's probably because of procurement more than anything. But
it's actually part of the design often as well, the lighting, the flooring, you know, the textiles they use. Everything really is about the psychology of getting people to feel more comfortable at work with the purpose of making them more productive. I mean, that's the bottom line. This isn't about, you know, creating something that's funky and beautiful so people can go, you know, googa over it. But what they're trying to do is really squeeze every minute out of everybody to make them as productive as possible by giving them an environment that pushes them in a direction of doing what they need to do.
So we're not necessarily talking about work habits. Are we talking about friendships and relationships?
Well, I'm talking about the changing nature of it, and also the strong growth now in people having more than one job. And I'm not talking about the part-time work, but today's generation's really saying that I'm going to have what's called a portfolio approach to work. So I might do 3 or 4 different things. You know, I might be an Uber driver and an engineer and a gardener and whatever else, all at the same time.
They're all gig jobs, though, Morris, aren't they?
Well, they are, but many people are growing their work habits around that, growing their wealth around that, working around the world digitally, not physically. So for all sorts of reasons, that 9-to-5 fixed box environment isn't as necessary. And then we have to understand that culture is changing, because the culture once was around work, because that's where our friendship circles were, that's where we got everything from that our family didn't give us. That's not true anymore. And the article that I pushed toward, you know, I say and towards the end, is that management styles predominantly are people of an older generation, my generation, where we were managing people within a physical environment who were there 9-to-5. That doesn't hold anymore, because not every industry, not every business, but a growing number of both industries and businesses now don't have that kind of 9-to-5 person in a box all day, but they still have to be managed, they still have to be supported and administered. So we really have to be coming up with interesting ways that we can support people beyond just our four walls. And part of that is giving, if it's not friendship, at least giving camaraderie or some ability to be connected to a group of people whenever you are there.
Let's flip that on its head for a second. Not everybody makes, you know, best mates in their offices. Some corporate situations are very, very stressful. Do you think this will help people's stress levels on the other side of the coin?
It really is horses for courses, and that's a thing we need to be mindful of, that some people just don't manage well in this untethered world. You know, their mindset, their thoughts, the way that their being is, their psychology, they really do need to be around people, supported by people, physically around them all day. And for them, the environment I've just described is hell on earth. But then there's a whole growing other side, of course, who are enjoying the, you know, what they would call the democratization of their work, where they can come and go and do what they want, as long as they're doing what's required of them within the time specifications.
There's tons to read about here. And as Morris says on his blog, this is something he's very passionate about. I think it's fantastic. Every week we come across with a new domino or a new sort of tentacle that links all of this together. The independent workspace, is that big picture going to be taking over?
Yeah, it is. It is, because increasingly, as we find, and again, our friend AI, first time we've talked about it today, artificial intelligence comes in, a lot of the routine tasks that people have been doing forever, meaningful work that really won't exist over the next 5 or 10 years, was done in these 9-to-5 boxes, offices, with work friends around them. I'm arguing that that's going to devolve for even more industries over time, which will force people to not be in a 9-to-5 boxed environment and not have these friendship circles as they once were.
How long, Morris, before it really becomes the thing? Like, yeah, 90%.
Industries and businesses is the answer, never for everybody, but I think 5 to 10 years, this will be quite ordinary. And the psychology and mental health and work health of everybody, we need to be thinking about this now. How can we manage and support people? Understanding that we are communal beasts as humans, how can we help to support them through what this is, you know, this nebulous work environment that we're creating?
We need to move on one day to the financial angle to this, because it's going to get rid of things like pensions and support schemes and all of the above, isn't it?
No, but it will make them very different.
Yeah.
It'll make them very, very different. And the governments around the world are already understanding that. That they're trying to find new ways to be able to foster all of those pension schemes, health schemes and others. It's a difficult world.
Big read. Tell us where to find it once again, Morris.
So it's businessfuturist.com.
Nice one. Thanks a lot, Morris. That's Morris Misilowski, all the way from Melbourne. He'll be back with you next week.